In the name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. It isn't any warmer than the last time I stood up here. I'm trying to be happy. It's not working. Looking at Paul this morning, and what he says rings so true, yet it is so hard for us to grasp. For the message about the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the discernment of the discerning I will thwart. It reminded me of a man that I used to know, one of our clients from our store. He would come into the store regularly and we would chat from time to time. Well, anytime he showed up, we would chat. Not about just little things. His concern for me was the fact that when he saw me, he would see this cross that hangs around my neck. And he would tell me, you know, I see that as the double cross. They lure you in to manipulate you. This whole concept of your faith is ridiculous. Foolishness, he might have said. Now, shockingly, I wasn't surprised that he would say such a thing. He didn't realize he was quoting scripture close to it. For not a good reason. But that was the way he lived his life as a secular humanist. This whole concept of being a believer in Jesus Christ was beyond his comprehension. And I would talk with him anyway, and he would tell me all his reasons, and I would explain to him why it was wrong. It wasn't my fault he was wrong. And then the day came where I was on my last day working in that business. I do work at least one day a week still. And he comes up to my desk upstairs and he's like, I just heard you're leaving. I said, yeah. He goes, I don't understand. I said, well, I'm going to go to seminary. What does that mean? I said, that means God willing and a bishop not paying attention and the people consenting, I may become an Episcopal priest. And he looks at me and goes, wow, you really take this stuff seriously, don't you? I said, this stuff is my whole life. And he goes, well, I guess we'll find out in the end. And I said, well, you won't. You'll just be dead. He did not think that was funny. And I wasn't kidding. It bothered him that I would say that. I thought, well, for a secular humanist, you literally believe that's what's going to happen, so why would that bother him? We didn't discuss that. We kind of went on our way. I went off to seminary, and a couple years into seminary, I got word that he died. I thought, well, that wasn't a really great last conversation, or was it? Because in that moment, he started to think. He had never thought about this concept that deep inside, he was actually considering the concept of this Jesus. He was considering that there was more after this life, although what was coming out of his mouth is that this can't be possible. He would look at the cross and say it's foolishness, literally, but when confronted with it and the truth of it, he suddenly realized something in him was bothered by this truth. And it wasn't in alignment with his. And it seemed almost like maybe he wanted a little something more than to just die. Now what happened, I have no idea. That was between him and God. I felt a little bad for a minute, and I thought, well, maybe that was a seed. And then I realized this morning as I was preaching this sermon, I said, look, I have become more pastoral over the years. Not a lot, but a little. But we need to think about this stuff. So we find ourselves, we are so wise, and we know everything, we're going to understand everything, that we don't need necessarily to rely upon this God. We're confident. See, we know how the world works. And how often in our understanding of our faith, and then we see what the world is doing and what's going on in the world, how often do we say, well, that's just the way the world is? And then if you start to insert into that the reality of your faith, people are like, I don't think so. Yeah, I don't believe that's really a truth. Now, they may not straight out say that. They may just think that's never going to happen. The world's never going to come into alignment with that. The world's never going to grasp the fullness of what you are saying. And so it's just never to be. And so we stop expecting it. And that's just the Christians. Foolishness. And we walk in it because we're so wise. We know how the world really works. Well, Paul is describing how God works. He says, where is the one who is wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? He's speaking to a group of people who have at a time when people had powerful gods. And he's proclaiming to them Jesus is Messiah, the one true God incarnate that came into this world to save us. And he did it by dying on a cross. And they're going, well, that's ridiculous. The Jewish people are saying, that's not right. We need a warrior that's going to come in here and save us from the oppression of the Romans. That's what we're looking for. And what you're telling us is our Messiah is this guy. I'm not going for it. Other people are saying, I don't understand that. That's not how the world works. But it is. See, for since in the wisdom of God, the world did not know God through wisdom, God decided through the foolishness of our proclamation to save those who believe. For the Jews demand the signs, the Greeks desire the wisdom, but we proclaim Christ crucified. Christ crucified. Who has a God that gives away his life? We do. To our benefit. And then we live in a world that is exactly opposite of that concept. And we say, well, that's how the world works. I'm not sure how you view the world at the moment. But I can tell you this, from my perspective, it's not really working that well. This is our faith that Paul is describing. This is our understanding of God. We proclaim Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and foolishness to Gentiles. But to those who are called both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. And how often do we find ourselves seeing what the world's doing and we just go in alignment with it? And go, well, but it can be different. We can walk in it. We can stand in the midst of everything that's going on and say, this isn't how this goes. And then other people go, yeah, that sounds really nice. What you're saying, that sounds great. This concept of this Jesus and the power of the Spirit and his power indwelling his people, that the peace in which Jesus moved within this world can be conveyed through his people, that's just too much, isn't it? So what happens? The world starts behaving in a way that is pressing against the understanding that we have right here from our own faith, and then we begin to act like the world. In my understanding of things, if you want to see something change, you have to stand in a different way. You have to move differently than what is already happening in front of you. Amen? I've made one or two major changes in my life. Complete turns of how I live my life. I didn't just wake up different. I had to choose to live differently in order to have that different life, which I perceive to be a better life. Which, by the grace of God, turned out to be a better life. Mainly because it was more in alignment, not completely, more in alignment with His will for me. We are God's people living in this world. And we are too quick to settle for, that's the way the world is. And we have to begin to ask ourselves, are we ourselves saying that the cross is foolishness? Paul knew it to be the very power of God. For God's foolishness is wiser than human wisdom, he says, and God's weakness is stronger than human strength. Wow. See? The world's upside down. Everything Paul's describing, even to us, sounds backwards, doesn't it? God's foolishness is wiser than human wisdom, and God's weakness is stronger than human strength. Consider your own call, Paul says. And what he says after that isn't particularly flattering. Consider your own call, brothers and sisters. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were powerful. Not many were of noble birth. But those are the people who are supposed to have the power. And you're saying many of you are in no position to carry any power. God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, things that are not, to reduce to nothing things that are. So that no one might boast in the presence of God. What is he talking about? What's he trying to tell us? Well, brothers and sisters, we don't have what it takes. But God has what it takes. And he chose you. I cannot tell you how many days I look at what God is calling me to do, and I'm thinking, you could have chose better. Until you hear Paul say it, and you're like, oh, well, that makes sense. God does it over and over and over. And then we live our lives thinking that we chose to get up and come to church this morning. What we did is we chose to be in alignment with God's will. That's the only choice we have. We can choose the world and the way of the world, or we can choose God and the way of God. But this concept of choosing God is absurd. He chose you. When you came to realize it, I don't know that answer. Took a while for me. To think that you have earned it, or you're finally good enough to decide you're going to live your life for God, is foolishness. He chose you. So if you don't feel adequate for the job, Paul would agree that you're not. But God chose you. What we can do is come into agreement and alignment with God. And we can walk as though we believe it to be true. He finishes in this way. He is the source of your life in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, in order that, as it is written, let no one who boasts, let no one who boasts, boast in the Lord. I guess that means nothing I do is really of me, if it has any decent effect of reflecting the desire of God. See, we proclaim Christ crucified. And far too often, as we'll hear in a few weeks, the voices of God's people, we call out when something isn't going the way we think it should be, something may not be in alignment with God's will in this world, and we can see it, and we see those who are doing it, and we want to cry out, crucify them. We proclaim Christ crucified. Here's some foolishness for you. He did that for all people, whether we like them or not, whether we agree with them or not, whether they know it or not. We proclaim Christ crucified. See, in all this foolishness, God has actually turned the world right side up. It's everything we need to live into the vision of God already exists. But when the people of God know the truth and walk into the world, and the first time somebody says, that's kind of too much, we step back. I told you my story about my friend, and he was my friend. That statement sounded a little too much, undoubtedly for many of you. But after many years of conversation, it was the first time that man paused and considered the reality that something inside of him was unsettled with his own belief. When the very truth was spoken to him very clearly and abruptly, it triggered something in him. What did it do after that? I don't know. Some people, and many Christians, maybe some of you here, as they heard that, say, well, as he says, I guess we'll find out in the end, and I just said, you won't, you'll just be dead. Many people probably thought, wow, that was too much. And that's just the Christians. Maybe it was, or maybe it was just enough. Maybe it was a way for him to consider there's a reality to proclaiming this Christ crucified. See, God has turned the world right side up. Through Christ's self-sacrificing, unconditional love, which was lived out on that cross. the most humiliating and obedient death that one could face. Certainly, nothing a God would do. That would be foolish. And yet that's what we stand here and proclaim. And then we try to balance that with the world, and I'm saying there's no balance. There's only this or that. All in the midst of what Jesus was doing and teaching, he was also saying, I will be with you always. And he is. I will be with you always. See, our call, brothers and sisters, is to set down the wisdom of the world and pick up the cross.